Hey, this is Flash Flanagan.
And this is the one and only Trailer Park Trash, and you're listening to Live and in color,
Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, guys, welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D. And I got my man Jimmy across the street. Jimmy, this one is going to be off the chain. I can guarantee it. We're getting Flash. We're getting Trash. And I'm going to not be Wolfie today. I'm going to be Slash. So this could get way out of hand.
Yeah, this is an unprecedented thought and idea. And seriously, we may be arrested after it happens. But, man, it's so funny. Like,
it depends on how good of an editor you are.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'll keep us out of jail. I promise, brother.
Please do.
So like last week at the end of the show, I just simply asked you, I said, has there ever been a Trailer Park Flash or a Trailer Park Slash? And you were like, yeah, there has been there, but never an official tag team. And literally like an hour later, you text me and you're like, hey, I got an idea. Flash. Yeah. Trash and Slash. And I'm like, all right. And he was, and I couldn't call you back immediately. And you were like, remind me tomorrow, Flash, Trash, and Slash. And I said, okay, cool. And you text me the next day and you're like, hey, I think what we're going to do is we're going to bring Trash back on immediately and then have Flash on. And we're going to literally do a Trash, Flash, Slash show. And I was like, man, I'm all about it. So yeah. I love it. Yeah.
It'll be fun, man. Like I said, his show was great last week. We appreciate, Trailer Park Trash coming on last week, and I know Flash has been telling me he wanted to come back on because he wasn't through talking. We'll see if we can't get all his stories out. I doubt we get all of it, but you know what? Get out some more fun stuff to hopefully people just laugh at and don't be offended. And that's just how it was, man. Just understand that. And if you're listening to us, you probably understand that.
right. I mean, yeah, exactly. Come on. You know, this one, much like the Reggie show, we just had Reggie be fine. Maybe just, plug your ears if you need to. But I think you would be missing an hilarious episode. I will say this, though, this one is definitely coming with an exclaimer on it, an exclaimer or a disclaimer.
I mean, it might have an exclaimer too. I don't know.
Disclaimer. I like that better. Yeah. That's much more accurate instead of an exclaimer. Anyway, that's hilarious. Yeah. But anyway, man, I'm stoked. I really think this will be a lot of fun. I guess let me ask you a real quick question. Do you remember, before we get them on, do you remember when you first met these two guys?
It was definitely, Memphis and knowing Danny and when he started OVW, and they were around. So somewhere in that general period right there of, them coming to Memphis, I guess mid 90s, early 90s. I'm not really sure of the date for sure, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And, a lot of memories, a lot of matches. And,
Definitely. Yeah.
But, man, you might have your work cut out for you. So I don't know how hard it's going to be to get these two together on the phone at the same time. Trash is out in the middle of the country. His internet service, he told us last week he has to sit in the bathtub to talk on the phone.
He's like, I got one spot.
Absolutely fucking perfect for him.
Yeah.
Just the trailer park. Can you see it? That's why I wish we had cameras sometimes. Just him sitting there in the tub talking to us would be classic. And then, of course, you got Flash, who might can find a way to answer the phone.
We'll make it happen.
I love him to death.
By hook or by crook.
Let's do that. You got your work cut out for you. Let's get these boys on the phone.
All right. We'll be right back. Maybe after these messages.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/live Wolfie D. Check it out.
if you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
Are we all there?
I'm here.
All right. Trailer Park Trash for the win. Thank you, sir. We'll do it, guys.
Ganging up, burying me already. We'll just mess with you. We'll bury him first. Then we'll get a hold of him.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yes. I wish we would. Let's go ahead and start this because that is a good way to start this.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, after just a little bit of technical difficulties, we have finally got our guests, both of them, on the line. We've got Trailer Park Trash and Flash Flanagan together here with yours truly. We'll just call me Slash today because this show is called Flash, Trash, and Slash. What's up, boys?
What's happening, Wolfie D? Slash.
Oh, nothing. Man, Flash, man, what in the world? We trying to call you all morning. Well, first of all, I want to say that I sent out a text to Trash and to you. You know, you ready? And Trash real quick sends me a text back. Yep. I said, Jimmy, you ready? Yep. Flash, question mark. Flash, question mark. So Trash sends me a text that says he probably set his alarm for 12:50. And this is at 12:45. And so I call Flash and he answers. And then I see Flash says, I told you he set his alarm. I said, his alarm was me calling him. He just woke up.
My alarm was set for 12:45.
I know my man.
So when was the last time that you guys have actually seen each other?
I mean, you know, it's been a while this time, but I mean, it like hadn't been years. It's probably been 7-8 months this trip around, I guess.
Okay.
You know, a lot of, we're out here where I live. Flash sometimes swings by when he's in the area and stuff.
Nice. Gotcha.
Just still out working, you know.
Yeah.
Still out here taking off.
I don't know if you know, Flash, I don't know if I told you this, but your first episode when you were on last time is actually in our top 10 of all time. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
Flash is over. You do now. You're over, brother.
Flash is over.
Yeah. I didn't even tell you any of the good stuff.
Top six. Top six, technically.
So, top six?
Yeah, specifically. Six. Yeah. We got to get you in that five.
Flash was a pretty boy. All the girls loved him.
What happened? Yeah.
Not anymore. I'm no man. And married. He's got a handler that he's got pieces of paper that said they're married.
Yeah, so he's kind of like for me. He's like Bill Dundee.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a handler now.
Except the world is a lot safer because I believe she does most of the driving.
Oh.
Everybody's in danger. Let me tell you.
Hey.
He will scare the shit out of you, man.
Flash is the truth to this.
My driving is great. If it says it'll take you 2 hours to get there, I can get you there about 45 minutes in.
That is awesome.
Are we talking like Tracy Smothers bad driver or what?
Flash just, I don't know. It was something about
I own the road.
It was fun. I would trust him with my life in the ring, and I'm scared to death sitting in a car with him when he's driving. It's just like he's paying no attention, and you know, just flashing, doing about 105 and swerving around shit. And he'll do it shit when we got snow and sleet on the roads and shit. You know, it's like, when we first all started going to the Memphis, we all took turns each week driving, and that's how everybody did their training. And when it was Flash's turn, the whole week I was a nervous wreck. Flash is driving and sleep. Damn.
Had trouble sleeping like a week.
Somehow we all
get in the car in Puerto Rico.
Oh, man. He picked me up from the airport and I shit my pants before we even got to the pharmacia. you know, here he is doing about 95 and shit. And I'm, oh, my God. And, but the thing was, down there, people was passing us up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, bitch.
Yeah.
So the main reason I really wanted to get you guys together, not only just so because Flash wanted to do part two, and I know you were pretty excited to do a part two, so I figured, screw it, let's get these two together, and I want to hear some of you guys' stories. Now, let's try to make this show where when the listeners turn this off, I don't want them to think we're all a bunch of degenerates, so let's try to keep this PG-13 as possible. But that's what I'm waiting on. I want to hear some dual stories from Flash and Trash.
I've been, there's a ton of them, and I've been thinking about a lot of them here the last few days, and the ones that I thought would be good for this, that for one, probably some of them don't have a statute of limitations on, so it's best not to hopefully admit we did anything. But, you know, man, the one that sticks out the most for me to start this off, it was, you know, I hadn't been around maybe a couple of years, whatever, we was doing the USWA, and we might have been at the Bimbo. We had a couple of good instances at the Bimbo, and we shared a bed, you know, king size bed. He's on one side, I'm on the other, and I vaguely remember waking up and looking over, and at the time I had a living girlfriend, but when I looked over, Flash was laying straight, you know, pointed away from me, and I thought for a minute, I guess I thought I was at home, and I was like, damn, look at that ass. So, I remember putting my hand on his ass, and then Flash, what are you doing? And then I kind of like realized where the hell I was at, and I was like, oh, nothing.
Now wait a minute. let's get the whole story out.
Okay.
I know we didn't stay at the Admiral Bimbo. We were at like a Motel 6 or something. But here's what happened. We were driving around trying to find a motel. And we were talking about the rats and all that, and how many beers it would take to sleep with this one and this one and this one. And Trash was going, oh, that'd be a six-pack. That'd be a case. And so we got to share the bed together. And in the middle of the night, he reaches over and grabs my ass and spins me over. I'm like, what are you doing? And he spins over real quick, doesn't say a word, complete silence. And then the next morning, I'm like, man, what was you trying to do last night? He goes, man, I'm sorry. In the middle of the night, I thought you were the old lady. I'm sorry. That is what happened.
Oh my God!
I had the gist of it now.
As they say.
But when you have to get raised, you remember this kind of stuff.
Because it's funny as hell to me. It's just funny as hell to me, all the shit we used to do. That's why I remember it. Hell, that's what I enjoy is remembering all of it. You know, no harm. Nobody was violated in the making of that story. So.
Oh, here is one of the best ones. You know how at Nashville, at the fairgrounds, how you get the separate locker room, and Bert would always come in there when certain guys were getting out of the shower or something. Well, Trash gets out of the shower and Bert walks in. Trash drops his towel, turns around, bends over, spreads his butt cheeks. He goes, hey, Bert, I'm ready for a push. Bert goes, oh, honey, you make a gay man straight.
Oh, my God.
That's 100% true, because I love fucking with Bert. You know, I wasn't Bert's type at all.
Right.
You know, I wasn't a tan, pretty boy, you know, toned up and shit. I had long, straggly hair. I fucked with Bert all the time.
It's starting out hard right now. It's just bam, bam.
Oh, my God.
It's like nothing. We're not saving anything. I love it. I can't imagine what the next hour is going to be like. Oh my God.
Yeah. We had this girl at the gardens walking, you know, back in the back on the baby face side, at the plumbing bathroom right there by the curtains to where we could go out and get concessions or whatever. the security guard comes back and they say, "Hey, Trash, this girl wants your autograph." So I look out the curtain first, see who she looked like. No, all right. So I go out there and I said, "What do you want me to sign?" She handed me a Sharpie and she said, "You can sign wherever you want." So I said, "Okay." So I had the security guard hold the door. I said, "Hey, man, watch this bathroom door for me." So I took her in the bathroom and I got her over the urinal. She's got her hands propped up, holding on to the, you know, the pipe, the flusher and whatnot. So as I'm doing my thing, her head's hitting the back of the urinal, and she's flushing at the same time.
Oh my god!
I get done with that. I think me and Flash was working each other because, you know, I was telling him about it. You know, Flash, where is she? Where is she? So we grab a hold and just start moving around the ring a little bit, and finally, there she is right there, you know, with the soaking head.
Oh, God almighty. So let me ask you this. We're going to try to reel it in to get a little bit serious, at least a little bit. You two in the ring with each other, you know, and I've said it to both of you. I think me and Flash have always had great matches. Me and Trash have always had great matches, but you two have worked each other probably more, you know, if not about the same that I've worked you two. Talk about working each other and who's worse and who's the shits and whatnot.
I guess I'll start. I can't say anything. I mean, man, me and Flash clicked. And the thing was, with Flash, we were good friends, but we really trusted each other with our bodies. You know, and that's something, man, that's hard to do with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, some of these people, you know, they want to call something stupid, you know, what? I ain't doing that. Not with you. You know, and Flash would come off with some crazy shit sometimes, and I, you know, most of the time I'd go with it just because it was Flash, and, you know. But, you know, if I was ever going to really get seriously injured outside all the normal shit we went through, you know, I guess I'd rather have been with him than anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to get hurt.
Now, I will say,
hurt yourself, or I would hurt myself.
One of us is going to get hurt, if not both, that was for sure. Stiff Bastard was, he was an asshole with that kendo stick because he liked to hit you in the head with it.
Yeah.
And I'd always tell him, no, man. on the view, as it is on the body is bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
Man, you get the hitting on that head, brother. That shit hurts. I mean, that's
man. Not what,
yeah.
Go ahead. Now you're making that up. I've only hit one person as hard as I could with that kendo stick, and that was because he football punted me in the ribs in Puerto Rico, and it was with their top guy Ray Gonzalez.
Nobody said you was doing it as hard as you could all the time. This shit hurt
no, he kicked me so hard. I took that stick and I wrapped it over his head. It went over his head and crossed his back and left a whelp on his back.
Wow.
And he was mad. And he came back to the back and grabbed his gun. He was ready to shoot me.
I worked with him a few times down there. I remember Ray about.
He's like, "Could you not have at least icy hotted me, man?"
They got him out of there. And they asked me what happened. I go, "He kicked the shit out of me. I just gave him a receipt." If Wolfie knows about receipts, he still has a bunch more coming.
You know. I think one of the dumbest moves we did was at the Gardens when I broke my hip at the Gardens, and lucky as hell it broke.
How did that happen?
It was one hell of a street fight. And like I said on the last show, me and Flash didn't go out there and bump and thumb pie, you know, whatever your took to eat it. But you know, we tried to make it all still make sense and sell everything we did. And Put the mask together like you should.
Yeah.
But we had a hardcore street fight, whatever. And remember, we set the table up on the outside of the ring, and I was going to put you on it and then do the leg drop. You was going to move, and that was basically the finish. Then I'd slide back in the ring, you whack me 1, 2, 3. But the table was like, it was so cheap and gimmicky, the legs wouldn't stand up. I put it up once and it falls down. So we work around it, get it back up, and it's sitting there just wobbling. And he watched the replay. You look on the video, Flash is laying on it, but he's not even touching it. Because when he freshly touches it, it's going to fall down. He's here I come and fly right through that son of a bitch. And, but anyway, we done a lot of stupid shit, that's for damn sure. But we again, we trusted each other. We knew, you know, I'd catch Flash come flying out of the ring, shit. They just, we did all kinds of shit.
You know, that's funny when you talk about the tables. I've had that happen more than one time where the table that they provide you to do whatever is just a piece of garbage. And it's like, did you not look at this thing? I mean, this thing won't even, you can't eat food on it. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, they look at it like, well, they're going to tear it up, so let's get one of the cars exactly. Tore up. No, yeah. Man. Yeah. No, man. It's, you know. Crazy shit, but I always loved working Flash. I always loved working with him, against him, because we worked good together as well. I mean, you know, we wasn't no PG-13, but we worked pretty damn good together. But and people knew when we was together, people knew it was, you know, it was going to be some wrestling, but it was going to be, me and Flash were pretty stiff, you know.
Hey, let me ask you real quick, because maybe I just missed it. But okay, so when you came off the top and he moves or whatever, what broke your hip? Just that being such a shitty table that it really didn't break your fall much or what?
Yeah, it was like going through a piece of paper, man, straight through the concrete floor. And I landed in a sitting position.
Man, get it on the floor. You forgot to leave that out.
What's that?
No, I got that part of it.
You were just on the floor.
Yeah, no, it was out on the floor. It wasn't in the ring. It was on the floor.
Yeah.
And then a piece of the table smacked me in the back of the head real hard as I hit, you know, all of it at the same time. Yeah. And I laid there. Yeah. Hell, I sold that thing for a couple minutes.
I imagine.
Because I was legit like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then crawled up the ring, and I think Flash hit me with a garbage can or something, and I was just like, thank God. that was really one hell of a match, too, though.
I'd like to see it. Is it on YouTube? Can we watch it? Can the listeners watch it?
Flash has got all that stuff. Remember, we had another board that wouldn't break, and we positioned it on the ring barrier on the side of the ring. So it was on the outside of the ring. You know what I'm saying? And we did the gimmick, and Flash was going to backdrop me out of it. Well, I take the backdrop and I land on it, but it don't break. It just bounces, and I bounce off of it to the floor. And then Flash pushes me back on it. And he comes off the top, I think, with an elbow or something. But it's still something. But some bitch wouldn't break. And hell, it wasn't a quarter inch thick, I don't think. It was just enough to hold a person.
Was Dutch the ref in that one?
He was the ref in the last one.
Okay, the Rock and Rumble. Yeah, there's a move y'all do that's it's a beautiful sunset flip power bomb to the outside where you power bomb Flash on a truck hood.
On a truck hood, yeah.
That was gorgeous. I mean, I know I've seen that move before, but I mean, that was probably really innovative at that time, I would imagine, that specifically that move. It's almost like one you would see today being used very commonly. You know what I mean?
Well, and if you notice too, it was again on top of a truck hood on the floor. I mean, you know, that was a hell of a buck Flash, too.
I didn't take
the buck Flash did. Hell, I just did the sunset flip and held on, and I didn't, you know, try not to let him take his own bump down and not slam him down.
Yeah.
Well, I gave that to Brian Christopher when we did that lightweight tournament. I told Brian, I go, hey, sunset flip me, and we'll do the powerbomb after the floor. And I didn't know if Brian would do it or not, and he did.
Yeah.
You know, Brian wasn't flying around doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, when I mentioned it to him, he said, yeah, okay. And he did it.
Well, yeah, because we're not taking the buck.
Exactly.
Well, they got
the other one taking the buck. We're not. I mean, it'd be hell if you know, if you miss Flash, I guess.
Yeah,
it'd
for sure.
You know, as long as you do your job, it's up to him. And Flash would take, man, Flash would take. I took some bucks, but never Flash. You know, like in Puerto Rico, jumping off the, you know, just Flash got to some buttons. Yeah. Like, God, man.
Working him, you kind of figure out what type of person you are, because he's like, okay, just grab me by the, you know, throw me off the third story balcony into this pit of venomous vipers and crocodiles, and you're like, damn, should I do that to him? It'll look good, but fuck that to me.
But he get mad as hell.
Hold on a second, Trash. Hold on a second. Flash, are you awake?
I'm listening.
We don't want you to listen. This is not called Flash calls in and listens. This is called Flash, Trash, and Slash.
Well, I guess, and tell you the other stupid, like, we did the, it was like, they, Asian death match type thing, and they had the 1/4-inch sheet of plywood, and they wrapped the barbed wire all around it.
Mm.
And to me, I wasn't thinking how thin the plywood was, how it would slide. And I went to give the guy the superplex, and he blocks it and cuts me off and throws me onto the plywood. But when I landed the barbed wire, the board slid and pinned me to the barbed wire. I couldn't get up.
Oh.
So the referee, in all fairness and trying to make the match keep going, he just reaches in and jerks the barbed wire out of my back.
Oh.
That hurt.
Oh,
that hurt. But that's why I didn't. But to those guys' credit, these two referees down there, did I tell you the New Jack story? They were going to kill New Jack?
No,
I don't think so.
All right. Well, they brought New Jack and Pondo down to Puerto Rico. And Jack was my partner, and Pondo was Mike Hughes' partner.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack and Hughes got into a few months earlier about a staple gun. So I told Pondo, look, I'll stay with Mike, you stay with Jack, and we'll keep that way things are kind of kept no problem. Well, Pondo, you know, he's double jointed. He can take his leg and turn it all the way around backwards.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man, this would be a great rib. I go, look, when Jack you come off the top of the truck and do the splash on Pondo, Pondo, you act like you broke your leg. 1, 2, 3, I'll go to the back and just completely kayfabe. I won't do anything. I'll just act like everything got screwed up. So we go to the back. Luke was like, mate, what happened? Jack wanted to do that stupid jump off the truck when it's all wet, and he came down and broke Pondo's leg. And Luke was like, oh. And he's like, they're trying to get an ambulance there and all this.
Oh, shit.
I guess this is where it gets good. So then we get in the locker room, and no one is smart enough to what's going on. Jack starts yelling at me, saying that I set the table too far and all this. I'm like, you're the one that set the table up and wanted to do that stupid move. And so I'm going off on Jack, and this is right after he stabbed that kid in Florida.
Mm.
So I go, what are you going to do, stab me in front of everybody?
Oh, God.
Jack goes, oh, no, you didn't. And he pulls out this knife and starts coming towards me.
Oh, shit.
Well, the referees were brothers. And they were drug dealers, but they were my boys. Sell
drugs and count three, baby.
So he's walking towards me, and he's getting ready to walk in between them. Well, the one brother was getting ready to hook the arm where the knife was at, while the other brother had his hand on his gun, and as soon as he hooked his arm, he was going to shoot him in the head.
Oh, damn. My God.
And all the other boys had their hands on their guns and knives and everything, and I'm like, Whoa, it's a rib.
Yeah.
And then Jack comes, because I'm standing there holding my kendo stick while Jack's coming at me with a knife. And then I had to smarten everyone up, and then we get in the car, and Luke was like, good rib, mate. We'll see how funny it is when you get your pink slip Monday.
Oh, man.
That is pretty heavy. That's pretty fucking heavy.
Jeez.
You stay down there way too
long. Go to Puerto Rico, they say. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, I had a blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you loved it. I liked it, but I couldn't have stayed the time you stayed. There's no way.
Well, Selma's helped.
Obviously.
Go ahead, Jimmy, jump in. I know you got something for these boys.
So yeah, I just got a quick question. You know, last week, unfortunately, the wrestling world had some losses in it. You know, Bray Wyatt from the WWE, and then Terry Funk. Do either of you have any Terry Funk stories at all?
Terry Funk, we only got to meet him one time. Terry Funk was all the one time I met him. You thought he was your damn best friend in the back. Just a complete, really good guy. The one time I met him, and anybody I've ever known that's known him, I don't know of anybody that's ever had anything bad to say about him.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, it's sad to see, you know, our past go. I think everybody, especially in the business.
Especially one of the greatest, you know. Yeah.
Right. And Bray, I unfortunately, from the sounds of it, never got to meet him, but I've never heard anybody ever say a bad word about him either. It's sad for the wrestling world to lose a legend and lose a possible future legend.
Yeah. Right. What about you, Flash? Any Terry Funk sort?
I was in the ring with Terry Funk, and I'm cutting a promo on him, and I'm sitting there while I'm cutting my promo, just dogging him. And I'm thinking, man, he's going to hit me. I didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
The other thing, and then I have the replica of the NWA title, like the really good one.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get the guys that held the title to sign it for me. Mm-hmm. So Tommy Rich signed it for me, and then I asked Terry Funk. I go, hey, would you mind signing this for me? I never know. One day I may be in a jam, and I might need to sell it. And he looks up at me, smiles, and he goes, no problem, kid. And he went ahead, he signed it for me, and then I had Flair sign it. And then so I got Terry Funk, Rick Flair. I mean, the only one I'm missing is Dory Funk. He's the only one he's the only one left that I consider NWA champion.
Right. Yeah.
So did you get into a jam or you still got it?
I still got it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
If you've never been to Flash's house, now, since he's been married, I don't know if it's changed, but Flash, and we had another guy in OVW that I was considered a damn good worker and a really good friend, too, Jason Lee.
Oh, yeah.
But you think you're going into a six-year-old's bedroom. I mean, Star Wars toys, you know, everything, G.I. Joe, I mean, it just... It's like, man. Y'all ever gonna grow up? And I would say probably a little bit of shit because they've got all. I mean, like Star Wars. There's probably nothing of Star Wars. Neither one of them have.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Quite the collection, Flash.
You're talking like the OG stuff, Flash, like the stuff we had when we were kids and stuff.
Okay, well, mine went beyond that. I've got like the guns and all that.
Oh, wow. Okay, you didn't lose any of that. Wow.
No, I mean, I've got I don't know how many of them they put out, but it's a signed Jeremy Bullock Boba Fett blaster.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha. Okay. And holy cow.
It's like the real deal.
Yeah.
Last time I seen it was selling for $10,000.
Holy damn. Crap. Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
I got a life-size Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And haunting carbonite.
You've got a haunting carbonite life size?
Yeah.
Holy crap, man.
Oh, and my Yoda. And Darth Maul.
Get the whole setup, and, man.
And Vader.
I see Flash's last will and testament saying he wants to be frozen in carbonite when he goes.
That's genius. Please. Make a coffee table out of it. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Hey, Flash, well, how you doing, buddy?
My dad works at IMI, so he could turn me into concrete.
Oh, man.
I think you got enough concrete in your head as we speak.
Oh, man. Oh,
hey, I got it, and he'll probably kill me for saying this, but I don't give a shit. Flash, you was there that night with Jason Lee, wasn't you? You remember what he was talking about? The American Eagle, Vito.
Oh, that was the best.
That, you know, I guess. All right, we're all sitting in the locker room, you know, and we ribbed a lot back in those days. In OVW. And I'll tell you my rib here in a minute. So Jason Lee had this thing where if you were sitting down, you know, not paying no attention, and he had the fart, he'd walk past you, and all of a sudden you'd turn around, and there's his ass, and he'd base you.
Oh, man.
Brutal. So, he would act like a little child. You go, oh, you got basted.
Yeah, you know. So it's, But that was Jason's thing, you know. So there was this one night. It was the first night Cornette come to OVW to start, you know, to work, you know, working with Danny. So, you know, it was kind of everybody's a little bit more on their P's and Q's that night, you know, because nobody really knew a lot about Jimmy other than like Flash worked for him at Smoky Mountain. and stuff. Yeah. I mean, we knew Jimmy, of course, but nobody worked with him much.
Yeah, right.
So everybody's a little bit on their T's and Q's, and I remember we're sitting around, and I see Jason get up. He already know what he's going to do, and nobody's really paying much attention. And Jason walks past the American Eagle, drops his pants, and Eagle turns around, and he's got the mask on. And instead of farting, Jason shoots a stream of shit.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. Jason came running through there and jumped in the air and pulled his pants down. And when he landed, he farted and blew it out.
Oh, my God.
The American Eagle's got the mask on, and he's just, and Vito's sitting there. Dude, you shit on me. Jason turns around. The reaction to his face when he seen what he did, I wish somebody had seen. He's like, shh. You know, he don't want Cornette, you know, he don't want Cornette to know anything about it. Because, like I said, none of us worked with him that much and shit. But it was just the funniest thing. And later on, of course, you know, Cornette heard about it. He was a little upset nobody come and told him about it.
I was going to say, Cornette would have loved that.
Yeah, he goes, Jason, if I would have known that, you'd been champion.
You know what? Through that whole story, I was sitting here thinking, you kept saying American Eagle. Now, American Eagles that I worked was Danny Davis and Ken Wayne. I was thinking you were going to say he shit on one of them. I was going to be like, oh my God.
That's what killed him.
He'd have been killed. One of the funniest things you've seen a lot back in those days when Jason comes flying out of the office, because Jason loved to aggravate the piss out of Danny.
It was like
Danny's son that he hated, kind of thing. There was many nights Jason comes flying out of there and Danny chasing him with a Kindle stick or something trying to beat the shit out of him. Jason went right out the back door and haul ass. Danny's so pissed off at him. Jason's a really hell of a guy, a good family man, whatnot. But we all did. Yeah. You know, my rib was, if you mess with me, I'd shit in your bag.
No, man.
That's an old school one there.
Yeah, that's a Kurt Hennig rib right there, man. That's old school.
That was my thing. And I had to sometimes go through. Now, I remember Dave Bautista coming up to me one day, and he said, Trash, I like you, but if you ever shit in my bag, I will fucking kill you.
Can you imagine if you didn't shit in his bag? I shit in a movie star's bag.
No, that's where we got to be the land of the giants, man. I told down some. I said, I ain't messing with these guys. You know, you see me shit in Brock's bag? Yeah. I wouldn't be talking now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had some monsters that were just built and strong on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, but great guys. I mean, all of them really, I don't really remember not getting along with any of them, really.
What about you, Flash?
I'm trying to think of some of the other, all my dumb things that I really did was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
You remember the Internet Bob thing?
Oh, okay. Internet Bob. He was stooging off stuff. He had no idea what he was talking about.
Let me tell who he is, Flash. He was a guy that was a mark that I guess was a little computer geek. You know, and that was early on. You know, nobody had cell phones or
any
of that. And, you know, we didn't have a website or anything. So I think Danny was trying to work him into, you know, let him have just a little taste of it to get him to kind of do the gimmick, you know, get this guy to do all this shit for nothing, and then it'll all be done.
Right.
Yeah.
But this guy got to where he'd hear the finishes and shit.
And
it off to the people.
Oh, my God.
So go ahead, Flash. That's who Internet Bob was.
Okay.
All right. So he dude, you know, finishes and then writing stuff about a match that didn't even happen. And it's like, plus he's got, doesn't even know what the moves are or anything.
Yeah.
I go off on him. I rip him a new one in the locker room, and then Trash hears me yelling at him. Well, typical Trailer Park Trash. He goes down to the bathroom, takes a dump, takes a cup, scoops it up, goes outside, smears it on his windshield.
Oh my god!
No, actually, I didn't smear it on his windshield. We had a light drizzle rain, like that whole night.
Oh,
so you had to use your wipers. So I carefully laid it right underneath the driver's side windshield wiper. So
windshield wiper. Either way, fuck.
Either way, same thing.
Of course, who's the first one? Who's the last one to be yelling at him? Was me. And
Danny was a little upset. We run him off.
I was gonna say, Flash, how many people did it take to pull Internet Bob off of you?
He didn't come near me.
Yeah. Sure, Flash.
But then there was Robert Briscoe leaving his doors unlocked in Elizabethtown.
Uh-huh.
And me and Trash got back there before he did. And Trash had some Polaroids of some chick. I don't know. So
Briscoe was not married, but living with one of the longtime rats.
Uh-huh. So he was engaged.
Well, yeah, they were engaged. They just never got married, but they were living together and stuff. And Briscoe had just got a DUI, like, a month or two back before this or something. So I put empty beer cans under his seat, a few condoms, a few naked pictures.
Oh, my God.
And what did he do to get this?
He was
just because you felt like it.
Yeah.
Just to rib him.
Because he was the kind of guy. He was the kind of guy we would get booked to ref matches and stuff on the road because he was funny to ride with. Because he would sit over there and stare out the window and talk to himself and shit.
Dang. So, and that's the guy
wait,
you rib.
We all just kind of wait. We just wait for it and start doing it. Then we get at we you know we get our giggles out of it. Shit. Look at there he goes. There he goes.
The guy that stares off in the distance, you rib the crazy guy.
Yeah. But we did piss all over his car.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that one.
You guys sound like the fucking boys in the 70s and 80s, for God's sake.
Yeah. The problem was, like I said, I was fortunate enough to get in with Danny. He was still on the road shit, so I'm traveling with Danny, and he tells me all these old stories and shit, and it's just making me want to go do them,
Yeah.
Man, that sounds like fun.
I think I could do that, yeah.
Yeah, man, that's tough. So it just, and then Rip come along.
He's notorious.
That puts you in a different world, and I think Rip brought the rip in me out. Because when Rip come along, I'm thinking, what can I do? What can I do to top Rip? What can I do to top Rip?
We couldn't.
Can you see Trash at some sort of acceptance speech? And I'd also like to thank my producer. I'd like to thank Rip Rogers for bringing out the river in me. I'd like to thank Danny Davis. you got to thank your producer and God first before you thank anybody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God for putting these people in my life. I love it, man. I would never change nothing because I love the memories. I love the memories. I love doing it. I love living it. I love meeting all my brothers. The wrestling business is people don't understand in those days. I don't know how it is now, but if you made it in, then you was a brother. You was one of the boys.
Yeah.
And there was a difference. You could tell. If you wasn't one of the boys, you were just there.
And it couldn't have been as fun as it was for us. Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, the Scorpion, the Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at SteveBowtieBryant@iCloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hey, Flash, and being for real here, because I just, you know, kind of made a funny about an acceptance speech or whatever. Let's just say that, you know, somewhere down the line, someone honors you with something. Who would be the people that you would thank? And I'm being serious. Who would be the people that you would thank?
That I would thank?
Yeah.
Can I name a bunch of them?
Sure.
Well, I mean, there's you, there's Trash, there's Rip, there's Danny. Savio, yeah. And Miguel, because they basically saved my life. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I probably would be dead by now.
Is there a story behind that one that we haven't told yet?
Well, like I said, I got hooked on Soma's bat.
Yeah.
And one time I needed a ride, and one of the guys came and picked me. I don't want to stooge him off, but right. He came and picked me up, and he was a little intoxicated and Soma'd up, but my somas were about to kick in, and I wanted to go to Walgreens real quick to get something real quick. It was something to drink or something. It was something stupid. So I go, man, stop here real quick, and I'll be back out in no time. So he pulls in and hits this. It was like a brand new Cadillac, like an Escalade or something. And he's like, oh, shit. What should I do? I go, dude, we're both fucked up. We better get out of here. So he backs it up and rips the side panel off the truck.
Oh, man.
We take off. Go back home. I go, look, I'm dead silent. I don't know anything that happened. We're cool. I don't nothing.
Right.
Well, the license plates are in Victor Quiñones' name because we're using the company van. So the cops come and arrest Victor Quiñones.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Brutal.
They had us on camera.
Oh, man.
So we got out of it. And then then the worst part was where they moved to this one place in this condo, and the pharmacy was, you'd go downstairs and it's right there. And I was gone. I was a few sheets in the wind. Mm-hmm. And I went down there, grabbed a bunch of stuff. All I had on was my swim trunks and a fanny pack. No shirt, no shoes.
No stuff.
I grabbed the stuff. I go, I got no money. I'll pay you later. I run out the door. No recollection. I could not even remember doing any of this. And then a few days later, I go in there, And the girls, because I used to hit on the girls there, so they go, hey, are you ever going to pay for that stuff you got the other day? I'm like, what stuff? And they're showing me the video. I'm like, yes, I will pay for it. Thank you for not turning me in. They had like a little jail cell around the corner that was a little shopping center that if you'd done anything, they'd lock you up there until the police came and got you. But I used to hang out there because one of the girls I dated was on the drug task force team, which is hilarious because here I am all drugged up on Soma and she's coming over and cleaning my place up for me.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, that's not the only person that saved your life, because last week Trash was telling us he saved your life from choking on some ribeye steak.
Yeah.
Well, he says that, but I don't remember it.
I don't think you would, actually.
Yeah.
No, I actually did. It just yours kicked in before my... this is stuff in our past, and everybody knows, you know, shit. We kind of, you know, we lived a life of rock stars, you know, basically.
Yeah.
To a point, you know, we didn't have the jets and all that shit, but still, I mean, we did things just like everybody else did things, but that was the Puerto Rico thing. You went to Puerto Rico, some soap, and you relaxed, you know.
Well, we went to Kid Rock's birthday party down there.
Oh, shit.
Andy Anderson, remember him?
Yeah.
Canada?
Yeah.
He called me up and said, hey, come down here to the Ritz-Carlton. Kid Rock is down here with Pamela Anderson. So we got ready and went down there.
Mm-hmm.
We met him and stuff, got a picture with him. And then I was talking to Pamela Anderson out in the hallway. I just wanted to get a picture with me and her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, not right now. And I'm thinking, when am I ever going to meet you again?
Right. So, yeah.
I'm surprised that situation didn't get you killed, because I can't believe you didn't say a word out of line.
Well, we're sitting there, and he doesn't have any security guards or anything around him. And I'm like, you know what? We can just go beat the shit out of him. There ain't nothing he can do about it. But we didn't.
But we
crossed their mind.
Pamela Anderson gave you the cold shoulder, huh?
Yep.
Damn.
What about sending the pictures up to WWE?
I think he told us that on the last one, didn't he?
Jimmy? Did he tell that story?
Yeah. Yeah, you told us that one. Yeah, you told us that one.
Rip used to always say, just send a naked picture at the Pat Patterson. Now you kids.
Yeah.
Trash.
Jimmy, you got anything to ask?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess we got to talk. I mean, Trash, we talked about it with you last week. We probably talked about it with Flash when we had him on. But since we have actually Flash, Trash, and Slash here, I would love to hear y'all's stories about hanging Wolfie at the fairgrounds and maybe how the setup with that went. And maybe, you know, Flash's input on that a little bit.
That was Wolfie's idea.
Yeah, it would have to be, right?
We got in trouble for them airing it on TV, and Bill Barron, I guess, he wasn't happy with it.
It was pretty intense. That's what I was saying. The Trash is the pop for it. When y'all dumped me over and people saw that I was literally hanging by my neck, it wasn't that big bump pop. It was just they screamed almost like they're watching someone be killed, you know?
Yeah, like faces of death.
It was a horror movie. It was a horror movie reaction.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you see people sitting watching a horror movie and somebody gets their head sliced off and they all jump back. Oh,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of how it was.
Yeah.
Honestly, I got to admit, I was pretty summed up that night. I remember doing it all, but how we set it up and all that shit, I don't really recall.
Yeah.
You know, just being honest, I was pretty... I just had fun that night. I remember that. That was pretty cool.
Y'all held me. And Flash, if I'm not mistaken, I think me and you tried to do it with just me and you.
No, it was me and BJ Payne trying to hang you, and we dropped you.
Man.
I'm blaming BJ on that one, because me and Trash held you. So it had to be BJ's fault.
Okay.
So BJ, I couldn't remember if it was just you or not.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. Y'all must have done that the week before or something.
It was down the line.
The Google Garden.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Gardens will use that slash. All right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I love that. I still like looking at that, man, because it does.
I just remember we had the chain around thing. And we had a safe word.
Pineapple.
We'll like a dying.
We think back now, if something happened and he was really choking, how the hell could you holler the same word to us?
Right.
We didn't think about that back then.
Yeah. You might have just heard me gurgling or some shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a hell of a thing. I know that. The reaction from the crowd was just, it was
awesome.
Intense. It was intense. I was glad to be a part of it. So that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
It was all said and done.
What about any matches together in OVW? Can you remember any of those at all? Or was there anything spectacular that happened where it was legitimately Flash, Trash, and Slash?
Man, I swear to God, I think we had, but I looked because I told you guys I wanted to have that soundbite of having Cornette going, Flash throws trash, and here comes Slash. I do remember that, but I couldn't find a match.
Me either. Yeah.
I know we did because...
Yeah.
You had, it was you, Stacy, and Damien.
Yeah, stupid.
And
Dick Sucker. That's his other name, Dick Sucker.
Oh, okay.
I hate that motherfucker.
We all know why he was there. But besides the point, I remember us having matches.
Yeah, I do too.
Several times, actually. And I had seen some video with me in there and you guys kicking my ass, all y'all jumping me and Stacy and whatever. Yeah. That might be when Leviathan hit hits the ring.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been in there because no one ever whipped me.
No.
That's why I got you.
Well, how come you always complain?
I was good at selling. Beat my ass. I'm like, you look like $1 million. And a lot of them guys back then really did, though.
Yeah. He swears up and down I split his head open 2 or 3 times, but I don't remember that either.
Oh my God. This is one of the good ones. Christmas night. They're in Nashville.
Merry Christmas.
First, let's go back to USWA where it was a USWA ECW invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working me in and it was me and Steve against you and Jamie, and I did have a blade, and Sandman gives me a surgical blade which I've never used.
Oof.
And I never will.
Yeah.
So
again,
I got kicked and I dropped it. Well, Wolfie picks it up and it's like, all right. Here we go, slaughterhouse, and he carves a big gash in my head.
Oh, man. Oh, brother.
I put 3/4 inside my head.
Abdullah.
I was born blood.
I was signing my autographs.
Oh, man. His full name. Warren Wolf.
Yeah.
So I go to the hospital, and one of the guys in there was like, hey, Flash, what are you doing in here? I go, I got my head split open. And he starts laughing. I go, well, what are you doing in here? He goes, I got shot. So now it's about a year later for this Christmas show. And Wolfie sits me up on the top rope. Or he just cracks me in the head with a chair and splits the back of my head open. Sets me on the top rope. Which he's going to bulldog me onto the chair where I'm supposed to get my color. Mm. Well, stupid me, I'm already pouring blood. I go ahead and pull my blade out. He bulldogs me on the chair, color, and then we continue with the match. And I get back, I'm like, dear God, he's pulling back my head open. And I go back to the hotel, and the centerfolds, Frenchie and Skinny Kenny and them.
Yeah.
They were there, and they glued my head back together. So, because I wasn't going to get any more stitches, I just glued it up. Then we're in a no disqualification street fight type thing. And I'm trying to get some heat, but and the referee is not listening to anything. And I'm like, look, will you just listen to me? I'm trying to get some heat here. And finally, Wolfie backs me up in the corner. And then he tells the referee to duck. And, of course, the referee listens to him. And he punches me right underneath my eye, puts me open. I roll out on the floor. I look up. I point to the back of my head. I point to the side of my head. Now I'm pointing to my cheek. I'm like, really? I go, dear God, three times? Do I owe you money?
But I got to say, in their defense, because I've worked Flash probably more than I've ever worked any one person, Flash is sometimes hard to understand.
Yeah. He's still hard to understand on the phone right now. What are you talking about?
Flash would go wing you off. There'd be tables and chairs and shit sitting everywhere. And if you call something, you'd be like, huh? He'd just go get the ropes. I'm like, well, let's figure it out. But we worked together so much, you just kind of knew what we were doing. We just knew what we were doing, you know. We had that kind of thing going. We just kind of, we didn't really have to say too much.
Yeah.
You know, if someone knows how to work, if they're coming off the ropes or something, you know, if they're feeding for something or anything, you can tell if someone knows what they're doing. And then you can tell someone they're the deer with the headlights on.
And that's what a lot of guys use. And, you know, guys, the thing, even guys that could have been around for quite a while were still, you just either got it or you didn't. And once you got it, you know, and if you click with somebody like me and Flash clicked, then you just, we were stiff as a board because I know me and Flash always, you know, people left, they remembered our match. We worked each other. I mean, we laid the shit in. You know, I remember several times Flash just want me to pound him in the head until we open up. You know, so you keep hitting me. The chops, man. We laid the chops. Me and me and Flash were laying the chops down.
Man.
Yeah. Where was we at one night, Flash? And I later felt bad about it. I think Johnny Jeter was one of them. Who was a kid?
Yeah,
I
really respected all that.
But we were
Chris Cage.
We were working together, and we worked them, and we were told to be stiff because they were messing around in class or something, something like that. Man, we beat the shit out of those two kids. Chop, fist, chop. I mean, we were brutal.
You know,
a lot of people sit out about, you know, say, oh, that shit's fake or whatever. Well, you know, step in there and work one of them kind of matches.
Yeah.
You know, and those kids were tough and they took it. You know, and that's how I respected them a little more after. They took it. They didn't say a word about it. But it was, later on, I thought, man, that was wrong.
I did get back with Jeter and Cage, and I told him, I mean, I apologized to him. I felt bad. It was one of those things that, they were one of the boys, but they weren't at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But they were still part of our group. And Jeter when he got called up, someone kind of buried him. But Jeter was a good worker. So was Cage.
Yeah, he was. But, you know, in our defense, in a minute, anyway, but both of ours, that's how it was if he messed up when he was with Danny. I mean, you know, when Danny was still trying to train you and whatnot, I remember Danny beating the shit, just beat the shit out of me. You know, Brad Pitt beat me in the back, you know. And I'm grateful for all of it.
Yeah,
but, you deserved it. You know, it's like doing what your parents should have done to you or something, you know.
Right.
I remember one kid, Flash, you might remember his name. He was really, really just a dumbass. And he went over to the gardens one night and somehow got in the back and walked up to Lawler and said something like, you know, hey, I know the secret wrestler's handshake. Something to that effect.
God. Oh, my God.
So Lawler calls Danny up and said, what are you teaching them fucking people? Of course, Danny had no idea and didn't even know what the hell a wrestler handshake is either. You know, Danny was furious. And I remember in class the next night, Danny got in the ring with this kid and put him in the headlock and snapped his nose. Danny won't be telling that story. Danny probably cares. But, I mean, Danny... Man, you know, I was grateful for being trained that way because you either loved and respect the business or you got the hell out.
Right. Yeah. And I always say this, man, because, you know, we talk about Danny. Obviously, myself, I was kind of hands-on trained by Danny. Not trained by Danny, but, like, in that position of being in Memphis on TV for my first, break. I was married to him every night. So I always tell people I was, like, the first OVW student, you know. It's like it's hands-on. And then right. And then you two. You two were probably, you know, in that same little – I consider us all three. That's why I did this show. But I consider all three of us kind of OVW originals because I know that I worked with Danny and I worked for Danny in the very first building and all that stuff. Talk about now, Trash. I meant to mention this to you last week. I saw the trailer for the Netflix special that's coming out called Wrestlers. It's based on OVW for the people that don't know. And I'm pretty sure I saw you in the trailer doing the leg drop. And Flash, I don't know if I saw you, and I don't think I saw myself. So curiosity is getting the best of me. Did you sign a waiver? Did you know anything? What do you guys nope. think about this?
Nope. That is me doing the trailer, Jack, in the trailer. I've had a lot of people bring it up to me. Mm-hmm. I have not watched it. I personally have no relations with OVW anymore. Nothing against personal Al Snow or anything like that at all. But, I know a lot of things were taken down, you know, like my picture and stuff over there. So I really have nothing to do with it. And I know a lot of people, I was surprised of a lot of messages and stuff I got from people and fans on social media and whatnot. And, you know, how come you wasn't in it and whatnot? But, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. Because, you know, people that I would, you know, obviously I was right there with Danny, you know, when he first started it. Mm-hmm. And then also I worked my ass off for Danny, too. I was with Danny, not just in class. You know, right. I was with Danny, you know, help build the building.
Yeah,
you know, we went from building rings to, we would build rings. We would make the bleachers. Just anything we needed to do, I was right there with him, and I wanted to be because it was for one the love and respect I had for Danny, but I wanted to learn every single thing there was about the business.
Right,
and, from setting the chairs up to everything, and I was fortunate enough to get that hands on with Danny. But that's the OVW I love and respect, the one now. You know, I'm not going to say nothing bad about it, but I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's a different thing, yeah. What about you, Flash? What do you think about it?
They'll even mention me or have anything about me on there.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling the same way. No hard feelings or anything. Maybe it's on the ribbon.
I don't wish them bad, but, you know, I just don't, I know the reason that I was kind of, I say maybe exiled out of there a little bit or whatnot, which the reason was bullshit. I was trash. I did a lot of shit, and I don't deny nothing I ever did. Right. But I never, ever used my power in OVW to try to get a female to do any sexual favors. Yeah. Never once. For one, I would have never done nothing to disrespect Danny that way. Or the company, because I was a true company man. And I know there was one person with all that Me Too shit come out that it was a person I tried to help a little bit and whatnot, but never once. Never anything like that. I've never publicly ever come out and said anything like that. But you remember when all that stuff come out, man. There was guys dropping. I was like, Lord have mercy.
It's
unreal. And it's just, guys would bring their wives and girlfriends to meet me and stuff because I just, and trying not to be in a disrespectful kind of way at all. I just, if they was hot, I'd let them know about it, they would sit there and laugh and shit, because I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I was doing a funny thing, But anyway, that's my deal with it. I wish them the best of luck, but also I have, I wouldn't be a part of it if I was asked.
Gotcha.
I'm still hot out of it because I've not even been acknowledged for any of the crap that I've done there, and I've killed myself there. At least picture wall. I look in there and I
Flash is right. Flash is right. Flash always had a, I'm with Flash on that.
I see pictures of people up there on the wall, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? These guys were jumping.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is, I know you guys' worth up there. I know what you guys were to me and still are to this day, my friends. I feel like I can call you both that. And again, thank both of you
for coming on here. Brothers, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. But I appreciate you guys coming on, and man, it almost feels like, you know, we might have to do this one again sometime. It's never ending, you know, the amount of stuff that we can talk about. Man, I hope
go on
that
and the on. Listeners,
yeah, yeah. Well,
and I hope the listeners
If an occasion ever come up, we could all be three be in the same damn city. I'd love to get together.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. For the listeners, if your ears have been tainted while you've listened to this, we apologize, and we are not degenerates. We were just having fun. That's why they call us the boys. That's how that word came about, because we're a bunch of fucking children. And we've grown up. We don't poop on each other no more and all that good stuff. So again, I thank you guys for coming on. Jimmy, do you got anything else for him?
Once Wolfie brought it up, this was a comment that I made at the end of the show. I was like, was there ever a Trailer Park Slash or a Trailer Park Flash? And he was like, oh, you know, Trash, Flash, Slash. I love it. So it just kind of came out of that. I just want to thank all three of you for, and even if you're not mentioned one time in that documentary, I think all the listeners should know that literally that would not exist without the blood, sweat, and tears of these three gentlemen right here and many others. Chris Michael, Sean Casey, all those other guys. I mean, you can name a million more. And, you know, I just, from the listener perspective, I would want to say thank you to you guys for definitely, you know, being and giving all that you gave, especially, you know, to that company and you know, for this show today. I think it's been incredible. Killing me. My sides are killing me.
Your cheeks is hurting.
I appreciate being on here, and I just, hey, we did it because we love the business. That's why we did it.
100%.
For any other reason, I think I speak for all of us that was part of that. We did it for the business because we love the business.
Yep. For sure, man. I think that's a great note to end it on. Thank you, Flash. I love you. Thank you, Trash. I love you. Jimmy, what are we coming back with?
Ask Wolfie anything, or ask Slash anything, man.
Ask Slash anything this week.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll be right back. Thank you, boys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I had another good time. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it'll be a blast.
It was funny. There's some good stuff on there. Hey, did you see the sound bites that Jimmy made? The little clips, the little videos.
For this one?
No, for last week's. For yours, Trash.
Oh, I listened to it two or three times already.
He throws some little video clips where he makes it's pictures, but it's us talking, and he makes pictures with it and stuff. There's a few of those out there. I'm sure he could probably.
Oh, okay.
I just made one about Jamie and the empanada, but I already made one about it was you and you were talking about the guys that you didn't expect to necessarily make it, and where you said I figured Brock would kill someone. So
you say that, and I know you probably couldn't do this, but if you even err some of this, one of those
we can probably get
over shit. Shitting in somebody's bag would probably be.
Yeah, I've already dog-eared that one for sure.
You have to wait at night. The parking lot where we parked at was dark when you got done. You have to be careful where you step, because either Trash or Jason would go down there and take a squat by your door.
Oh, man.
Take a shit. So you step in.
So shit, guys. All right. It's been fun, man. Thank you for waking up for us, Flash.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Y'all have a good one, man. Thank you.
All right. Next time. Take care.
Take it easy, man.
All right. DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask slash or Wolfie D or any
forward slash whatever.
Ask forward slash Wolf. Anyway, ask Wolfie D anything. And man, Flash, Slash, and Trash, man. What a great show, dude. What a cool one.
Great show. I hope everybody's still with us.
Yeah.
So
seriously.
Bet it was wild times, and you know, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, like those WWE table for three deals they have on the network, dude. Yeah. I think there's money in you three together. We got to figure that out, but you know, we
have enough hard time trying to schedule one guest, trying to get two every week. Now you're really pushing
it. It's such a great point, but God, there's something there. I mean, I know we've done it before. We've had tag teams on, like the Headbangers, the Wild Boys, that kind of thing. We had George and Ronnie, and George really hooked that up for us to get Ronnie on, but none of them, maybe the Headbangers a little bit, but none of them have you really had such a deep bond and past with like Flash and Trash, man, you know. And I know the listeners probably like, man, is Trailer Park Trash part of the show now? And maybe he is, y'all. But yeah, this was just an idea we couldn't pass up, man. It was just something we had to make happen. And I appreciate you pulling the strings to make it happen. But anyway, man, a lot of fun. And definitely would love to try to do more table for three type deals. But again, I know the scheduling conflicts for just one guy sometimes is brutal. So honestly, sometimes scheduling just you and I together, right?
I mean, for real,
that all the time. But anyway, basically we've got a couple different questions here today, a couple good ones that I really enjoy here. So obviously the first one is our faithful listener Ben Martin 88 on Twitter, and
Ask Wolfie D Anything, brought to you by Ben Martin.
Hey Ben, do you want to come on as a sponsor? He doesn't really need to, though. He just brings good questions, man. So anyway, listeners, we are always open for other of we know there's more than just Ben, and I promise you, I know there's more than just Ben. If you want to send us more questions, we've got them. The DMs are wide open at Live Wolfie D. But anyway, Ben always brings a great one, and this one is awesome. So obviously you've heard about this new like whole CM Punk Jack Perry deal at AEW, right?
Bits and pieces.
Yeah, literally bits and pieces. So basically, from what I understand, CM Punk got into it in the back with Jack Perry. Basically the whole story was CM Punk was essentially advising Jack Perry and Hook not to use real glass for a going through a windshield spot. Now, okay, you know, with that being said, I think he was only looking out for their safety. I mean, if you can use sugar glass, you know, I mean.
Yeah, you would think so, man. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure how much, again, with what goes on with all this backstage stuff with AEW, like, well, I think there's a line here that they're trying to work a little bit of a
shoot,
shoot type stuff with everybody. Because if it was really this out of control, I feel like they would be fired. You know, I mean, I don't know. But I'm not there, so I can't tell you. But anyway,
What's the question,
really?
Yeah, so basically he says this. Okay, so I'm looking through the news about this Punk / Jack Perry mess, and he had an idea for a question here. And he says, it's a hypothetical for Wolfie. So Wolfie, all right, put yourself in Tony Khan's place, okay? Mm-hmm. Would he have, and we're treating this like it's a full-on shoot, I guess, here. Yeah. So in Tony Khan's place, which, you know, that's a whole other deal, how would you have handled the Punk Perry fight?
Like I said, I don't know how much of this they're trying to work or not. And I could probably find out the answer. I got enough people over there that I could be like, man, what's to do with this shit?
Yeah.
And I don't care to. But at any rate, I mean, if it's definitely some real heat, he's got to take control of it. You know, if it's not, keep publicizing it like you're doing. That's what makes me think it's not, because there's just too much stuff going on back there, and it's all around Punk and da 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 da. I mean, that just don't seem right to me.
Yeah, there's something to it there it smells fishy, man, for sure. Yeah,
and what they're doing, you know, we say, I just wish people would sit back and watch the product and be entertained, you know, blah, blah, blah. But there are those ones that want to know the inside scoop. So if they feel that you're giving them some sort of inside scoop, that satisfies their taste in wrestling, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts about the whole idea of just Punk telling the younger guys, hey, use sugar glass, man.
I mean, I don't know why in the world. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, that is kind of silly to, if you have the option of using something safer, why wouldn't you? I don't understand the point of oh, it's got to be the real glass. So yeah, that just some. Yeah, the whole thing's just weird because if that's the work, then you're sitting there exposing the fact that one wrestler's telling another wrestler be safer. I just hate all that. I hate all that. Against that, that kind of stuff just didn't exist.
Right. Okay. So yeah, and that's kind of the follow up question here. So the next question basically is: back in the day, obviously this would have never been in the news. You know, it would have never. Mm-hmm. There was no social media anyway, but it wouldn't have probably even. You know, Meltzer might have made something up about it, but when it came down to it, if you and let's just say you and Flash were going to use a spot like this, and let's say let's just say Danny would be like, hey, you know, don't use real glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you would have listened to him. You would have respected him. But the other idea of it is, have you ever done that to where you've put yourself in, and we know the hanging spot we talked about earlier on the show, but I mean, have you ever put yourself in a position to where you were going to take an unnecessary risk that somebody said, hey man, dial it back. Don't do that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we used, you know, when Tracy Smothers turned heel on us and smashed Jamie in the head with the bottle. That was a real bottle, but they did the thing where they bake it and all that. And it's still, if you'll notice, Tracy had a glove on. It cut Tracy's hand, and there was glass in Jamie's head for a shoot. Yes. But we had also done it before. We used the sugar bottle. And
right.
Nice and safe, and nobody ever knows the difference. As if you don't fucking tell them on the internet.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, and I mean, that's a great point. And I mean, you know, I just can't see even as much risk-taking that you all actually did, I still can't see you not listening to the veteran. I just don't.
I mean, and I don't think that's the first time that, I feel like Ahmed Pearl River plunged maybe D'Lo on a car or something one time. I mean, that's not the first time we've seen that. And probably the car that it was done on was not gimmicked. But at the same time, if he's got a way and an idea of, hey, let's make this a little bit safer, I don't understand what the problem would be.
Yeah, I can't see it other than just them being rebellious and wanting to.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's probably a work. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's a way to make Jack Perry more of a heel, which is what they're trying to do anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and evidently he got choked out and all this.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. I mean, you know,
think they're trying to use the internet as a way to, you know, help the storylines along. Cause remember, we've talked about that. And I said that, you can actually go on the internet and just put whatever you want out there. And it's going to be, you know, I think a lot of people are probably thinking like you and I, is this a shoot or is this a work? But there's been so much involving him in the back and all this kind of shit. It's like, this can't be real.
Right. And if it is real, it's making Tony Khan look horrible. And if it isn't, if it's a shoot, it's still kind of making Tony Khan look horrible. I mean, it just seems like dude does not have control. Okay. And this is kind of the final question I'm going to ask about this. This is just another follow up. And I think I have the answer, so I'll answer it too. But then I want to hear if you think that the right. So if you were in Punk's position, obviously, two younger guys you see and they're about to do this spot, would you have advised them the same way? Like, don't do that. Use something better than that. I mean,
I don't know. Be honest with you. If I mean, because the show that they were doing on, ain't that kind of like his show or whatever now?
Right. Right.
Okay. So he's kind of in charge or whatever. So if he knows, I mean, obviously everything that's going on, what's going to happen on that show? Hey, we're going to use this. And they were to say, no, fuck you. No, you're doing it my way. You can fucking go home. But see, that's
right.
That's why I think it's gimmicky, because I just can't see some kids in their position, you know, on national. They're getting a national push and this and that. Why cause extra drama?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, also, I can't, if they did it anyway, let's just say these hypothetical two younger guys that did not listen to you. And yeah, you're kind of in a top spot where you actually are somewhat booking or matchmaking or whatever. But also, I just can't see you actually fighting the dude after that, though. I don't see you doing that because I would just say, like, okay, you're a moron, and I'm not going to try to fix you by beating you up, you know?
I don't know. They'd get a talking to. I mean,
of course, but I just don't see you, like, okay, if you're an idiot and you're going to do that, there's no me putting pump nuts on your head that's going to fix it, because you would be like, well, if you're a moron, just be a moron. Obviously, a talking to is a different story. Yeah, if you're going to be a goof, be a goof. And, you know, you may not, in your regard, you'd be like, well, you're never getting booked again or whatever. But in this case, they're signed to contracts and stuff. But I don't know. That was just like an extra part of it that I wanted to find out, because I feel like, you know, in your position, I can absolutely see you advising someone not to do it. I can also see you being very upset if they did it. Again, treating this like it's a full shoot here. If they did it, I just don't see you.
I just think, like, man, there's always been backstage fights in wrestling, but it just seems that AEW has got this, you know, and it's always involving Punk or whatever angle is actually going on, it seems like. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's something rotten in Denmark, as they say. I think that's the word. But anyway, all right. Well, the last question of the day, because we've kind of turned this into a current affairs and didn't mean to, but the last question of the day is from Cause Effect on Instagram. And it says, was there ever a match or angle that was going to happen but didn't, that would have pushed you guys to the next level? Like, what was the reason? If so, was there ever like something that you felt like, oh man, I think so, like, let's just say, hey, I think we're going to do this with you. And you in your mind are feeling like, man, this might be something that puts it. And even if it's just in the USWA, even putting you in a better position.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, the only thing that I could think of was that the Heavenly Bodies angle got cut short in Smoky Mountain. I wish that would have kept going. There's plenty of tag teams that man could have been brought in and done something bigger. But ultimately, I think we really did the best we could do with what was available in Memphis at the time. And the only thing that I could say would have pushed us over would have been to have a better spot in the other places we went, you know. WCW, I wish we could have had a better spot, you know. The matches were good, but it wasn't a push, that's for sure. And we both know how the WWF thing turned out. So, of course, there's plenty that could have went differently, but it just didn't.
Was there ever in USWA tag teams that were talked about trying to bring them in and you couldn't bring them in, or they wouldn't, it didn't happen? Do you remember any of those? Like, Randy's like, hey, I think we should do this, or let's try to see if we can get these guys or something like that.
Well, you got to remember, back then there wasn't, I mean, Memphis was the last of the territories, and the way you saw others, if they weren't on national television, was in a magazine or in the dirt sheets. So it's not like there was all this film on people that were like, oh yeah, let's get them, you know. It just wasn't there.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. Like, no talk of bringing in the Dudleys to USWA, or no talk. Okay. Yeah. Stuff like that. Gotcha.
And like I say, that, you know, Lawler hated ECW. So before me and Jamie went there and actually brought some of that ECW to Memphis, and he went up there eventually, you know, there wasn't any crossovers really.
Yeah. Why do you think, because you guys seem so perfect for ECW, why do you think you never got brought on as full on, you know?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Honestly, because, you know, in other situations I say, oh, well, you know, some of our outside the ring shit, but that was on everybody there.
That was in the locker room at ECW, you know,
so that come couldn't on. Have been it.
Right. Do you think it was just maybe they thought, well, okay, I know you had done the WWF at that time, and, you know, WCW was to come, and you kind of were bouncing between the three there. Do you think it was just like, well, they're not committed to coming up here? And I mean, like, was there ever maybe thoughts of moving to, like, up in the Northeast and saying, hey, look, okay.
No thoughts of that ever. No, gotcha. No. But that is kind of like a thing, you know, we weren't homegrown. So that played into it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the reception goes, the crowd hated you. I mean, it was great, you know. you got over. So, well, anyway, I don't want to beat the dead horse there as always, but I just wanted to see if there was ever something that was maybe said that didn't happen that you'd have loved to have happened. But anyway, that's it for Ask Wolfie today. And, you know, again, definitely appreciate the questions, y'all. Keep them coming. We just appreciate it. Go follow us on YouTube. Hey, one more thing. I say it earlier in the episode when we run those little commercials, but can you all please go rate and review us on Apple or Spotify? Just give us 5 stars if you got it in you, please. And maybe if you want to write a little review, that would be great. We definitely appreciate it as always. So
for sure. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. And we'll see what kind of stuff we can come up with for next week.
Yeah, we'll see who we're going to bring Trailer Park Trash on with next week. So thanks, Trash. Thanks, Flash.
Yes. Thank you guys that aren't here anymore. But we thank the listeners for sticking with us for 2 years now, Jimmy. 2 years, a little over that. We've been.
And you know what's funny is this is the 111 show. This is 111th episode. And so it just was funny that we did a 3 with the 111. I don't know.
Well, it's really, look at you.
I'm making stuff out of thin air, guys. Thank you.
It all means something.
Thanks for doing 111 episodes with me, Wolfie. So,
yes. Thank you for doing it. You do the work.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week. Tune in.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the plastic chic Jared are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling. Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, WLFE. I'm on Instagram at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still live and in color. Bum rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. And I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up. And I'm driving it home, it's Wolfie D, baby. Huh, I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.